Trying to figure out how to explain it to your local nerd? Your translation expert, Benjamin Rockwell, is here with Computer Talk Radio.
Oh, so many things that we have in store for you this week here on Computer Talk Radio. Keith Hemsedor is going to be talking with me in regards to form factor in the Apple world. On the Scam series, I'm going to talk about Black Friday sales and how I do think that many of them can be scams, so you got to watch out for those. Mark is in for Marty, and he's going to be talking about the Viam AI assistant. And Steve Keske, when should you let your children have devices? A key thing here coming up with Black Friday right around the corner and Christmas as well. And on the IT Pro series, are you looking for a good resume service now or after layoff? I'm going to give you some tips there. We've got a bunch of listener questions. Sarah, why does my laptop battery drop from 40 to 10% suddenly? Owen, how reliable are children's age verification systems on apps and social media? And Jackson, how should I deal with end user license agreements? And coming up next, Dr. Doreen Galley will be talking about the F1 event in Las Vegas that's this weekend and all of the tech that's involved in racing. If you miss any of that, of course, you can check out the website at ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. You can also phone me with your questions, your computer questions, and your technology concerns at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. Now let's dive into the news. And for a number of years, I provided a buying guide for PCs and laptops each year around this time. Actually, twice a year. Once in summer, once just before Christmas. And I slowly evolved from specific machines over to basic guidelines to just saying, buy within your budget, sticking with the brand names. It's been a couple of years, but this year I do bring one bit of buying advice that tracks with the news of component pricing that's been going on for the last 6 months. For starters, the price of RAM is climbing seriously fast, and solid-state drives, your hard drives, are showing a similar potential increase. They've been climbing over the course of the last couple of months. Combine this with Intel's stated intent of backing off of cheaper CPUs, this is something to heed. If you are looking for replacing an aging computer or simply upgrade, this may be the best time to purchase. Right here, Black Friday, maybe in the following weeks, Cyber Monday, and in the run-up to Christmas. Quick tip, buy now within your budget and start increasing your savings for your next purchase to be at a higher price point than it's been in many years. Don't blindly trust what AI tells you. Now, these are very strong words coming from anyone. It's something I've said for a while, and it extends to really everything on the internet as well. This quote, however, was dropped by Sundar Pichai, who is the chief executive of Alphabet, aka Google. And this bears a lot more weight when you consider how much that Google has invested on the artificial intelligence front. Even more so when you consider how much flack they've received for bad information on their various AI products. This also comes at the same week that Gemini 3.0 was unveiled. And this is a new release to one of the biggest AI platforms out there. I will admit, I do use AI, and I do use it to speed things in my life, but I also proofread, I cross-check everything, because it may be good, but it is still artificial and hardly intelligent. On that same front, last week, I talked about Pavan Davuluri, who is the head of Microsoft Windows team. The news then, last week, was about the backlash against his indication that Windows was going to continue to ignore us. They were going to go headlong towards an agentic operating system. Let's unpack that here. That means that you've got this operating system that's going to be all AI and a number of different agents that are going to do all sorts of things for you, whether you like it or not, and take over our lives in unimaginable ways. This week, the feedback was apparently received and somewhat walked back. Now, it does lack some details. It lacks the assurances that give us those warm fuzzies that say, okay, they're going in the right direction. But he did seem to acknowledge that there is a serious gap between what Microsoft has been peddling and what we, you and I, and all of the rest of the users want. The problem that we do have, and I'm going to recognize this because this is so very key. This is a behemoth. Microsoft is huge. They handle the main interface of nearly 90% of the laptop and desktop systems out there. Can we trust this? Can we even know for sure if this is just some sort of fluff to calm us down, or if they will continue, along with Apple, to tell us that we know best, they know best, as far as what we, you and I, want. And I didn't get that out of the short comments and the various info that I got from this. Yeah, they want everybody to choose Windows, but is it our Windows or their version of Windows? Who knows? Now, as we rely on the internet more and more, the big outages are hurting us each time we turn around. In the last month, this really hurts. In the last month, we saw outages at Amazon Web Services. We know that as AWS. We saw it with Microsoft Azure. And we saw it with something that's called Cloudflare. I'm familiar with Cloudflare. It buffers my website and many other websites, and it helps speed information out to you who might be going to, let's say, computertalkradio.com and looking up the information there. Now, each of these outages had an impact that was significant to businesses, to users, to daily life. Each of these was widespread due to the level of reliance that you and I and everyone have on each of these. This Cloudflare issue was attributed to a configuration file that grew too large, crashing their system. The previous ones were rumored to be as a result of a change for one and a system code bug in the other. No matter the cause, it is important for all of us to remember that these things do happen. It's also important that we remember that these will continue to happen. And for that reason, I want you to make sure that you have a contingency plan for any of your internet-based needs, whatever they are, from business to personal, your system itself. If you've got a Chromebook, you need to make sure you've got all the way across the board. You have to have backups. Don't rely on internet-based backups. And we do need to be aware that you need to have something in mind, something as far as a plan in case you can't do work because you're working with something called software as a service or SaaS, and you can't access Microsoft Office, as an example, because Microsoft themselves is down. Now, it seems that crime drama can start in space, but yes, it can also end here on Earth. Years ago, in 2019, I recall talking about this astronaut who was going through marital problems, and they were heading to, or it's divorce. Okay, that sounds like a weird segue, but stick with me here. There was an accusation back then that the astronaut had accessed the Earthbound spouse's bank account from space and performed a kind of form of identity theft and all of this. This really sounded rather suspect back then, and I said so, considering that the comms between Earth and the ISS are heavily monitored. The various investigators, the lawyers, the courts, they all dug deep and since found out that this was all a series of lies about when the account was created and accessed and nothing lined up. There's more about the landlubber, and it's all revolving around wire fraud, fake investment deals, as well as false statements to the Federal Trade Commission and the NASA Office of Inspector General, something I didn't even know existed, and sentencing is going to be coming up soon. Now, I have resisted the electric vehicle world for a while, and while it excites me that Jeep is finally coming up with a new one, I'm not sold. Sure, it's going to be the first and only fully electric trail-rated SUV in the industry, but trail-rated is a moniker used only by Jeep. There have been hybrid models of the Jeep Cherokee and Wrangler, but they've also been plagued with concerns and recalls. So this already raises concerns, but what bugs me most is the idea of going out in the wilderness, climbing mountains, and then realizing I've run out of juice. Jeeps and other off-roaders have been known to carry jerry cans, 5 gallons of Go Juice, aka gasoline, in case they get into trouble. What's the EV equivalent of this? A friend with a gas 4x4, a big hefty generator, lots of gas, and tons of time to charge you up to get home. Yeah, not so good. Coming up next, we're going to stick with the car theme. Dr. Doreen Galley joins me talking about F1 off in Las Vegas. That'll be next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it. Meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off, you take really good care of your listeners.
The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. Dr. Doreen Galley joins me now. And Doreen, okay, first up, usually for everybody listening, we usually talk about these things after the fact. We talk about these events that Dr. Doreen Galley goes to in the Las Vegas area and surrounding areas. We talk about them as, this is what I saw. This is what happened. These were the questions we covered and things like that. But this one's exciting. And one of the things we haven't talked about on air is, I don't know what term you would use. A car nerd really is the thing that pops to my head because, of course, we've got the nerd motif. Other people might call it gearhead and so forth. And yeah, this is F1 week in Las Vegas.
It is. It is very exciting. Everyone's coming to town. This trip is going to be closed down for the races. They've been preparing the racetrack, but
yeah,
but it's Formula One week, so it's very exciting.
Yeah. And loud too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the first year was very tough on the locals, but they have worked mm-hmm. very hard to make it invisible.
Okay.
I think they go out of their way to ask local news not to cover what's going on.
Oh, wow.
Too much with it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they almost wanted to make it like you don't notice it except the impact to the tax base.
Sure. Okay.
So, but it's very interesting. And I get excited because back when I was an AT&T strategist and architect, one of the projects I got to advise on was the Formula One track in Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And so the Formula One track in Austin, Texas is used for IMSA racing and Formula One racing. And the network on the track has to have all of these sensors that the cars are constantly communicating with as they're flying around the track.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you knew that. So it's not just the car has sensors that it has to know what's going on and they have to communicate back to their team, but there's a network around the entire track that has to pick up this data to communicate it.
This is where the car is. This is how fast it's going. All of the different bits and bytes of data that are flying through. And I'm sure there's tons of data that they're able to move.
Yes. But for Formula One, compared to a standard like IMSA, the smaller cars, not Formula One.
Sure, sure.
Right? They need twice as many sensors on the track.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because those cars only go like 150 or something, right? They're not as fast as Formula One. But the Formula One car goes so fast, they need more sensors than they do for any other race held
on
the track. Which is wild. And then I know sometimes when people look at it, they're like, okay, that's great, but if you're not ridiculously billionaire, you're not going to own a team, you can't relate to them, how does it affect our life, right?
Oh yeah. Well, the list of technology that has arrived in our cars from Formula One is just absolutely amazing. I and actually, all of the different car racing, whether we're talking about Formula One or NASCAR, and my mind just went blank. The
IMSA.
No. The one over in Europe, the 24-hour Le Mans.
Le Mans, yes.
And some of the
Rolex
stuff.
24.
Yeah, and some of the stuff like engine size. You're only allowed to have a 2-liter engine in Europe, but yet that's what got all of our, all of these big, huge turbos that go into our engines. So I drive a BMW. It's got a 2-liter engine, but it's got, whatever it is, 250 horsepower to it, which,
because of the racing team.
You get a 2-liter from Japan. It's got 40 horsepower.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, no, even the kinetic energy recovery system, the thing when you step on the brake in a hybrid or electric car and the action.
Regenerative braking.
Yeah, that comes from Formula One.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. What are some of the other what are some of the other things that come from Formula One?
Yeah. So the paddle shifters.
Okay.
You know how to shift a car traditionally, if it's not automatic, you used to have the stick transmission and push in.
Yeah.
And the newer cars, they change it to where you just use little paddles on the steering wheel if it's not an automatic to have more control to go up or down.
Sure.
Those paddles, that paddle shifting all came from Formula One racing.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Right? Very cool. You know, the active suspension, which we like because you want a nice smooth ride, no matter where you're going, right?
Yeah.
We appreciate that. The bladder appreciates that on the long road drive.
You always
get the bumpiest road when you're looking for a rest area on the highway on a road trip. I know a lot of people are going to be taking road trips with Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And it's the bumpiest road while you're waiting for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Active suspension. Yeah, no problem. Even that, the drag reduction systems, the rear flap that goes in the back of the car for aerodynamics. You know how the rear of the car sometimes when it can, like with the wind or something, it can like tail?
Yes.
Drift over the road. Yeah. That rear, that little flap that comes down on the back of the car helps with all of that so that you get good aerodynamic and good traction. And all of that comes from Formula One racing.
It's
exciting. The hot V engine design, there's different shapes engine.
Okay.
Right. So the V-shaped engine comes from Formula One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There's a lot of stuff. It's exciting. It's exciting. Yeah. We have some exciting things coming up too in December.
Oh, yeah. Well, before we do that, I mean, we've got a few more minutes here for this segment. What are you looking forward to most at this F1 event?
It would be great if it was a surprise winner.
Yeah, okay.
Because it seems every time by the time you get to the race, when you look up, and you're like, okay, what to expect out of it? And they're it's already been determined. This team has so many points. And so it would be great to see a surprise.
Okay.
A surprise.
Yeah. Everybody wants to see like different people winning. We pull for the dark horse. In all of this. What about technology wise? What are you thinking you're going to see there, or excited to see, or any of that?
Oh, I'm not sure. It'll be interesting because what they show in the coverage. If you can catch the coverage because they have different cameras in the cars and sometimes. So it's always interesting to see what type of hybrid coverage they're going to show you.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll show us some of the support teams and what they see about the car. Mm-hmm. You never know, but it's definitely exceptionally sophisticated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping my city looks good. I mean, the first year they had this amazing kickoff concert, and I love it. It's like a half an hour. Truth be told, it's one of my favorite treadmill shows. Uh-huh. You know, it's just that it had five different performers and the opening show. And I don't think last year they had the opening show on. I know that's kind of lame, but I was really looking forward to the opening entertainment. Yeah. They had drones, and they show my city with all the pretty lights. I love all the lights because they have all the different colors.
Yeah,
and I love all the different colors, and I love when they have a firework drone show combined. It's I love the entertainment of it all.
Sure.
So that's admittedly one of the things I'm hoping that they share and they show, but you never know. But I always just hope it goes well because it's a really important weekend for my hometown.
You know? Very cool. But, you know what? I'm excited for you. I know that 10, 12 years ago, I saw the unveiling of the E1, which is the all-electric version of F1. And that was at CES. And my son and I were both there to see that. And that was so exciting. That was absolutely a blast.
A lot quieter. At one point, they were pure gas, and they were so loud when I went in Austin. You could have earplugs and like the ones used at a shooting range, and even inside, you could still hear it.
Oh, wow.
When they went to the hybrid, it was significantly better from a noise perspective. But we got some exciting things coming up.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds. Yeah, go for it.
10 a.m., sign up on our YouTube channel at TBW Advisors, T for Technical, B for Business, W for Whispers, AI in Medicine, Promise or Peril. December 4th, 10 a.m. webinar. You can sign up, submit your questions, so we'll ask them. Even if you miss them, it'll be in the video.
Very cool. And as for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And Dr. Doreen Galley.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. Microcenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, Microcenter is your resource. Check out Microcenter.com today. Microcenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. Keith Amsidor joins me now. And Keith, where do you think the form factor is going with Mac? We've got all kinds of different things where I'm wondering, are they just making up stuff as they go along or what?
Well, let's talk about you, Benjamin.
Yeah.
When we are on this call, and it doesn't look any different on my end because I still have the same machine I've had for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But you just recently switched from an iMac to a MacBook when we're on this call.
Yeah.
How is MacBook it different Air. For you?
So the camera for me is the image that I see is far more crisp and clean. For my feedback source,
you've also shrunk down from 27 to 13 inches.
I have. That issue for me isn't a big deal because of the use of what I put my Mac through, which is far more minimal than a lot of people. I am nearsighted, and a 13-inch Mac versus, let's say, the 15-inch versus the 27-inch, it doesn't really have a whole lot of concern for me.
Okay, interesting. One thing that is of interest to me is that a number of other Mac pundits recently have alluded to the fact that industry analysts seem to think that the Mac Pro, the big cheese grater tower, the current version is going to be seeing its final days in the not too distant future, and that the form factor pretty much is dead, if not dying, as Apple selling the Mac Studio to a lot of the people who would have previously purchased the tower.
Well, the tower, when was the last time they updated the tower?
Well, you'll remember the trash can Mac that was released in 2013.
Yeah.
And that had Intel internals. And they really weren't able to do a lot with that form factor when the Apple Silicon came out.
Right. Yeah. That's something that they've had to work with. And
Well, what's interesting is that the prevailing wisdom seems to be that anybody who would buy the Mac Pro Tower is doing it more for the PCI expansion slots than the actual CPU performance, and whether it's got an Intel or an Apple Silicon M-series processor, which it now does, but hasn't been upgraded since the M2, and all other Macs are either on an M4 or an M5.
Right,
and
yeah.
For me personally, for what I get out of a Mac, I still love the form factor of the iMac, even though we only are offered one, the 24-inch model these days.
Yeah,
I would rather have an iMac with a high-quality built-in screen, because I think the dividing line of price and performance when you get an iMac, because that's a premium screen you're getting in there, and the only other way you're going to get that premium of a screen with any of the modular Macs, whether it's as small as a Mac Mini, a Mac Studio, or even the Mac Pro, is to buy a ridiculously overpriced Apple display, which can cost you upwards to $5,000 with an entry point of somewhere around $1,700.
Well, that's if you're staying within the Mac ecosystem. There are some very, very nice monitors available out there that are outside of the ecosystem.
True, but as far as scalability is concerned, the Apple ones are tailored and designed to work optimally with those displays.
Monitors are monitors, dude. I mean, you will have to do some tweaking, but they're set up. They're designed to have external monitors. So, you know, so there is a space for the studio display, but that is in the studios within Hollywood. It is not really.
That's true. But here's the thing. When we talk about the quality of the displays, they don't just make and manufacture individual LCD panels or LED panels. They cut them from giant sheets. And Apple only selects the absolute best ones. All the other ones that are still functional, they go to your top name brands like LG and Samsung.
I think you've been reading a little bit of propaganda on that one.
I don't think that's true. But that having been said,
they don't have a lock on the market. There are many different display manufacturers out there. They're using probably one, maybe two. And actually, aren't they self-specking those, self-building those?
Apple?
Yeah. Just like their chip. Aren't they building those in-house now? Not in-house.
That
in-house,
I'm not aware of. I mean, chip and the Macs, yes. The assembly of the displays, yes. Mm-hmm. But as far as manufacturing the screens themselves, that I'm not aware of. But what's interesting to me is how there was such a groundswell in demand for a return to the tower form factor with all the PCI slots after Apple left the trash can Mac unserviceable. I mean, literally, they came out with much fanfare. Phil Schiller was like, oh, can't innovate anymore, my butt. And then all of a sudden,
whoa.
Well, he said my ass.
Yeah, you can't say either of them.
And Phil Schiller famously said, can't innovate anymore, you know the rest. And they come out with this thing that they didn't update significantly for well over a decade. They return to this, you know, this cheese grater box format, and then they've kind of let that languish as well, which is seems to be Apple's play these days. And now they're putting boxes on people's desktops that are not upgradable. So for me, for my money, the crossroads of price and performance is still the iMac that you custom configure on Apple's website. Don't ever buy that thing retail.
Well, that's another story for another day.
True.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot out there. I just looked it up. It's been nearly 900 days since the last Mac Pro came out. So
exactly. That's almost 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Cedor.
I'll be back with more Computer Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
The phone number, 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. That's one of many ways, of course, to reach out to me. I will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns. I do have a day job, but I encourage you to call me at any point in time. If I'm not available, I'll just send it to voicemail, and I promise I will get back to you. Mark Brownstein is in for Marty Winston, and Mark, you have a set of earbuds. Did I hear that right?
I have a set of earbuds
from Shox, which I have a couple of Shox headsets around here. They are absolutely wonderful. They're beautiful sounding.
Yeah, I have a set too, and they fit around the head. They fit on the side of the head. Mm-hmm. Bone conduction, you can hear through them. These, the Open Dots 1, are a little bit different. No headband.
Okay.
They just fit around the clip to the back of the ear, and the sound part, I think, is inside the ear, but it doesn't go inside, just kind of on the inner edge of the ear.
Okay.
And these are also bone conduction. They sound really good, and they're pretty easy to use. The interface is not as easy as the Shox. We've got one button to amplify, one button to make it lower the volume, button to end a phone call. This one's a little bit more difficult to use, but it does a good job. It fits, you know, like I said, in the ear, around the ear, and it does what you want it to do. This one is designed so you can have two different devices, a phone and a computer. You can set it up if you're listening to something on the computer and the phone rings, it defaults to the phone.
Okay.
And it's a nice device. And it doesn't go into the ear canal. In California, there's a law that says you can have an earbud in one ear, but not both, because you don't want to block the hearing. That's not the case here. They don't go into the ear canal.
Okay.
If you get stopped by a cop, in theory, you could say, well, hey, these are not in the ear. I'm okay. And then you might have to tell it to the judge.
Yeah. So that brings up a very interesting thing. If you've never experienced bone conduction headsets, it leaves the entire a lot of that ear canal open, so you can hear the entire world around you. This is something that a lot of people who are like joggers and runners, they will use these bone conduction headsets because they can hear the space around them. They can hear the car honking at them or stuff like that. They don't actually zone out the world. They just add an invisible soundtrack to their own lives, if you will.
Yeah, it's like opening a window, keeping that window open. You're listening to the sound, but you're also listening to all the ambient stuff going on around you.
So
yeah, like you said, car horns.
Yeah. So
other runners approaching.
So what kind of battery life do you get on these?
I believe it's 9 hours, and the charger case will, of course, keep it going a lot longer.
Okay.
So for 9 hours, that'll handle a really long run.
Yeah. Not as long of a run for me, I guess. You know, that's one of the things. I've got two bad knees, so if I'm running, there's a problem.
Well, one other thing that's interesting about these, unlike any other earbuds I've ever seen,
the
earbuds can tell whether you got the bud in the left ear or in the right ear, because it can tell by the position, the way you've placed them on your ears. Okay. So that if you're listening to stereo music, it'll automatically put the left channel in the left ear and the right channel in the right ear, regardless of which one you pull out and stick in your ear.
So it's actually auto-correcting. It's not just a matter of like some, you know, some of them, you know, one is red and one is black or blue or something like that. And that's how you're supposed to tell. And it just fits in. Yeah. So this just works whichever ear you put it on.
It's auto-detecting. You stick it in whatever ear and it works.
That is actually kind of exciting because I will tell you. So I am a stickler. Every time I go on down to the Red Cross, I donate platelets on a regular basis. And because of that, I watch a movie and they hand me headphones. They now know, however, to check the headphones. They go, nobody ever does this, but we know how picky you are. And I checked. This is the left ear. This is the right ear.
Right ear.
And, you know, because I want to hear as I'm watching the movie, if the spaceship travels from left to right on the screen.
You want to hear that.
I want to hear it going from left to right and not right to left. Yeah. My brain will just go, I can't handle this. It doesn't look and sound the same. But maybe I'm just picky.
Now, what I used to do is the Beatles song, Good Morning, Good Morning.
Yeah.
Years ago, I think, on the White Album.
Yeah.
At the end, you've got the dogs going from the left to the right and the fox hunt horns. And you know if it's right because it starts in the left, ends in the right ear. If it goes the other way, you know that you've got it. Your headphones reversed.
Sure.
That's how I used to test.
I love a lot of the music that is from that era. Just for once they discovered stereo, they put it through its paces. And today, some of the music, there's kind of a stereo image, but it's just, it's not stark. It's not dramatic. You know, whether we're talking the Beatles or the Doors or whoever, just the extreme panning is just sometimes fun, exciting to listen to. But that's off on a completely different rabbit hole that we probably shouldn't have even dive down. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Mark Brownstein. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio. I will be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround.
In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com.
The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can. And normally I talk about the scammers, the hackers, all of the known bad guys, the ones that are out to get your money through ill-gotten means. And this week I'm going to point out that the upcoming Black Friday specials that you may be looking at may also be, yeah, somewhat scandalous, somewhat manipulated. Somewhat, yeah, things you need to watch out for. I'm going to tell you just a few different things to have you keep an eye out for. First up, the custom name. You know, the mattress world has done this for years. They've said, we'll beat anyone's advertised price. And it all has to do with the model number of the mattress, and every single mattress out there has a slight amount of variation resulting in a different model number. Oh, ours is triple coil wrapped and theirs isn't. And yeah, this also applies over in the computer field. Yes. So you may find a model of computer that's at Best Buy, and you think it's the same thing as the one that's over at Costco or somewhere else. And it's not. Because all of the big names out there will custom make brands, their brand of laptop, they'll custom make it with a special model number just for that retailer. And none of the other retailers do. So avoid that one. Also, watch out for sale pumping. And this is something that, you know, they mark it up through the roof for months on end. They've got only a couple of them in stock because they are way overpriced. But then, yes, they tell you when you go down to buy it on Black Friday, oh, this is a very special deal. We've got over $1,000 off on this laptop. And it's $1,000 off because it's now at the same selling price with a very similar laptop that you could have purchased months ago. So you've got to watch out for that. And it's the same with desktops. It's the same with the monitors. It's the same with the televisions and all of the rest of this. You know, it's like going to the grocery store where you would normally buy steak at $5 a pound every week. But then suddenly they have signs everywhere that say sale, 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 steak, $5 a pound. It's not always legal, but across the tech industry, it's hard to enforce that kind of approach, especially since there's so few options out there. So, and then watch out for the pseudo bait and switch. They, of course, will entice you with a super bargain, and then in tiny print, they'll note that there's only one, or they'll note that there's limited supply and all of that. Of course, they all use loss leaders everywhere on the most popular products. But yeah, you look for a rain check if you can get it. But a lot of these sales don't, for Black Friday, don't involve rain checks. And then there's the issue of online pricing. And yeah, there's a lot of things where you find a price online, but it's going to be different than what you find in the store. There's a lot of different things. Watch out. Be very careful this coming Black Friday. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You are listening to Computer Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about the Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows the Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.
Where's a nerd when you need one? Oh, he's right here. And now, it's time for Computer Talk Radio with Benjamin Rockwell.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, ComputerTalkRadio.com, ComputerTalkRadio.com. That is just one way you can reach out to us. Of course, you can catch the podcast there as well. The phone number, 888-NERD. 888, that's 888-637-3888. If I don't answer the phone, that's okay. Leave a message and I will get back with you with answers to your computer questions and your technology concerns. Steve Keske joins me now and he helps make good on radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact all of our lives. And Steve, what do you have for us this week?
Well, talking about impact.
Yes.
I was into an article on when should you let your children have devices.
Okay, yeah.
When did you let yours?
It was early on. Now, mind you, this was early on in the age of computers and technology, and it was a slow growth into it. For instance, he would see me playing video games, it was some form of Disney coaster or something like that. And I would make roller coasters and he would help me design them. And that was probably at the age of about 3, maybe 4. And then later on, he got his own computer because he had to do his homework on it. He was taking keyboarding probably somewhere around kindergarten or first grade, somewhere in there. But this was all before the dawn of social media. This was prior to any of the smartphones that we have now. And all of this was also monitored. We made sure that we knew what he was doing on the computer. It was out in the public space of our home at the time. And over the many years after that as well.
Yeah, I know. I saw him as a teenager playing games,
yeah,
on the computer.
Yeah. I credit a lot of that early introduction to what he does today, which is he's heavily involved in the tech field and he does data analysis. And we're not going to go too far deep into this, but that was part of how he grew up, and he saw a lot of that going on. And he's a math whiz and a tech whiz, and that probably helped out a great deal. Now, this was again monitored. This was a controlled environment versus what we see today. And I do see a lot of people out there that they utilize the smartphone, the iPad, or whatever tablet as a level of application, a level of babysitting, if you will, something to occupy the kid's brain with what we would today refer to as brain rot.
Oh, yeah. So, and there's a whole, you know, there's a number of studies out there that are right now trying to find out what is the effect of all this technology on our children's brains and their development.
Yes.
Now, I commend you on how you did it with your son.
Yeah.
Now, if it was me, I would say, well, let's see. If this was going on today, mm-hmm. and not back then,
yeah,
but today, I would say very little technology before the age of 15 for girls, and maybe 17 for boys. Definitely no kind of social media.
Well, see, now that gets a little tricky because the schools require a lot of from the age of kindergarten up, the schools are requiring that the kids take computer keyboarding classes, that the computers that the youth turn in their assignments via computer. There's a big, huge push on the I'm struggling for the right word, but the total usage of technology to in their lives, which is to some extent something that is going to be required. It's a matter of what do we allow them to do outside of that starts getting tricky.
That's right. I mean, you get what goes on in the school. We should monitor as parents.
Yes.
What they're doing.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to take responsibility for what they do outside of class.
Yes.
And, you know, if there was an app that would say, well, okay, my child can only, between the time that they get out of school until they go to bed at night, can only use that cell phone for an hour or two.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Now, there are different parental controls that can be placed on things like the smartphone, any of the smartphones, any of the technology really can be locked down to a decent extent. And it's going to depend on whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone. If we're talking about a Chromebook or Windows or a Mac, it doesn't matter. Each of them has their own different direction, and this is something that has only arrived in probably, I'm going to say, probably the last 5 years where it has really shifted into high gear.
And that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a very good thing. Your son was very lucky. Mm-hmm. He had very conscientious parents.
Yes.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Now, my growing up, I had none of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we only had a landline, and then it was a party line, so you never, you had to watch what you said.
Technology was a little bit different back then, it was different back when I was growing up, too.
Yeah.
My first actual access to a computer was, I think, right around 11 years old or so. I'd have to go back and double check my notes. But I took a computer programming class on a Commodore VIC-20. And then later, just a year or so later, wound up with a computer as a Christmas present. And that was really exciting for me. That was something that was very early on in the field of computers. Now, it did hook up to the big, huge 19-inch color television into the living room. But I did continue doing programming, and I did continue poking about at a number of different things. It was a very interesting experience. There was a number of computer magazines, and you could open them up, and then you would type in the program that they had there in the magazine into the computer, and then it would do really rudimentary level computing compared to all of the things that we have today. Now, a number of youth these days, my grandson, he is actually taking a coding class. And he is all of 7 years old, but he's learning how computer programming works. And it's a series of modules that they work with, but they're understanding a lot of if-then statements and a lot of these different evaluations of the data and processing the data and putting information up on the screens. And that is a good foundation for what will be something he will deal with a lot more in his future. But I also see this as something that it teaches him, if you do this, then that will happen. And that is actually also a growth thing in understanding cause and effect. And that's actually, I think, a great thing.
Well, it can be because, you know, from my experience,
yeah,
growing up, you know, yeah, I learned logic, mm-hmm. but I also learned faulty logic.
Okay.
You know, when A plus B doesn't necessarily equal C.
Okay.
It's supposed to, but not always. There are other variables in things. A good understanding of logic, you know.
That will come in very handy.
And
as for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Kesky. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. Jackson reached out to me at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. Jackson's issue, how should I deal with websites that require me to agree to long privacy policies I don't understand? And what he's referring to is the end user license agreement. And this is really more than just websites. This is software. This is all of the different things we do in life. And everybody has out there a long list of different things that basically they present that absolve them of every single possible thing that anybody could ever accuse them of. And it's like a blank check. It is like having this big, huge 50-page lease written in legalese that you must sign before you ever enter into an apartment or whatever. And there's just all of this stuff there. And we have gotten to the point where all of these end user license agreements are just getting ridiculous. And I agree with that's my personal opinion. I think that we've gotten to the point where every single different one of these policies has gotten so bloated, so overblown, so ridiculous that we really, really have no hope. I don't think we have a hope, at least. I think at some point somebody may come along and say, you know, the courts will say you just can't have an end user license agreement that can only be understood by an attorney, that can really only be enforced through many years of court battle cases and whatnot. I mean, so let's think about some of these end user license agreements that are out there. So we've got Facebook. They've got an end user license agreement that really extends to all kinds of different things. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about this recently on the news. A matter of, so if you use Meta on Facebook, you ask it any questions, yeah, they can track those questions. The Facebook end user license agreement says they can track just about everything you do. And they will ask you at a later point in time, hey, can we have access to your pictures? And we have said yes a number of times to Facebook and Meta. And we've said, hey, yeah, go ahead. Because, yes, they're offering a feature to us. We're able to upload our pictures, our selfies to the internet and show people how happy we are. But one of the things that really made the news recently was that Meta is actually taking that little bit of access that you think is just so you can, you know, have some fun, post pictures of friends and family. And they've decided that they now have access to all of your pictures. So now what do they do with your pictures? They're scanning them all of them, and using them for their own purposes. So they can go through. Now, some of the directions we see, all of these different nightmares that we've seen over the years of they can then sell your pictures. No, they're not going to sell your pictures. Oh, they own your pictures now. No, they don't have creative rights to those pictures or anything like that. But they can use all of those pictures to develop a better understanding of who you are. They already have a really good understanding of who you are. There are just endless reams of data that they can track about you. They know your political party, what kind of car you drive. They know your location, all kinds of different things that they can figure out. To the extent of years ago, they discovered that there was a whole big, huge kerfuffle in regards to they figured out that a young lady was pregnant, even though she hadn't told anyone. And that creeped her out. And it was just because they were tracking a number of different things that she was doing. And they said, this is kind of the whole process of this really looks like someone who's pregnant. And this is something we keep seeing. All of these different policies are really long. We ignore them. They've got all kinds of different vague terms, and they're really obscuring how our data is used. In the case of the photos I was just talking about, what are they using it? They're using it to train their AI. They're using it to market to you. I mean, Facebook is one of the most wild marketing companies out there. We don't think of them as a marketing company, Meta, aka Facebook. We think of them as a social media platform. But they've got all of those ads. How do you think they manage to figure out that you really like BMWs and you really hate Nissans? They figure out which ads you stop at. You're scrolling on through. Yeah, Nissan, forget it. I'm going to move through. Oh, Beamer. Oh, look at that Beamer ad. And then they figure out you're interested in BMW. And it can be whatever. It can be Ford or Chevy or Mercedes or Rolls Royce or whatever. They can figure this out. They're doing all kinds of different analytics and tracking and data sharing as well. And all of these different elements are buried in that fine print. Additionally, these policies continually change. On a regular basis, you're being asked to agree to the new changes in their policy. We cannot keep up. We, as normal people, just are unable to keep up with all of the different changes. And sometimes those changes are planned and plotted, and they're changing just a few words from can to we absolutely do. We can monitor these different uses to we definitely monitor these uses. to market to you on occasion to allow us and others to market to you all the time. And it's just a few words that they change in there. And we're not going to know. We're not going to know how that has changed along the way. They don't have any kind of user-friendly summary that comes along and says, okay, we're doing this, giving you simple graphics or little bullet points that talk about that. Because it's not in their best interest. They want this to be hidden. They want this to be obscured, because if everybody knew just how much information was being tracked about you, all of the different things that they are having you sign off on, you know, these different things, you agree to arbitration with an arbitrator of their choice in a state of their choice, and it will be paid for by them. Okay, there's a lot of different things that are going on here. You really don't have a whole lot of hope of fighting them. Yes, some people do take these things to court, and they try to invalidate some of the parts of the end user license agreement, and I have no idea how successful they are in the long haul. And sometimes these different corporations, you know, I picked on Facebook and Meta a lot here in this particular segment, but this applies to Alphabet, aka Google. This applies to really any of the search engines, any of the products that are out there that we use, any of the social media platforms. And the reality is, everything that we've got going on, even in the idea that it's free, all of the, you know, if it is free to you, then it really is you that's the product, not what you're using. We've said this many times before, but even in some of these paid platforms, Netflix, they're tracking all of the different movies you're watching. They've got an idea of whether you like rom-coms or action or comedies. They're tracking all of this, and this applies across the board. And with the power of all of this data analytics that's available to them, any company that's not using it is going to find themselves further and further behind. And I don't know that we're ever going to beat this. And that's sad. And I'm sorry to say that. These days, most people just say, okay, I read it, and they move on. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Owen's question, how reliable are children's age verification systems on apps, on social platforms, and all of this? And it's a great question. If you have a computer questions, technology concern, whatever it may be, please do reach out to me, computertalkradio.com. Scroll down to where it says contact us today. I will get back to you. Owen's question, you know, it's a great one. How reliable is an age verification system? And the reality is, you know, it's kind of like the bouncer at the club, and he looks for an age, but they're not always going to be able to truly verify it. There's going to be some level of fake ID slipping through. There's going to be some kind of different subterfuge that's going to be happening with anybody that's coming in the door. And we are seeing a lot of different systems coming along that are looking to kind of differentiate between the ages of people. And it's not always going to be accurate. It's not always going to be anywhere near accurate. So many of the platforms have relied on some kind of self-certification. They've relied on some level of you entering in your date of birth. And of course, that can be inaccurate. And we also get into the situation where some people will enter in something like, they'll enter in the right year, but they're going to throw off the month and day because they don't want that information out on the internet. This is it's been a common practice for a long time for security-minded people like myself to recommend that you don't give out accurate answers. You can give close answers, and you kind of use those answers to throw people off the trail so that you don't wind up getting some kind of identity theft. So that kind of already throws things off, and sometimes that leads to, if you go too many years off, then that is going to lead to confusing the automated system or the not even automated system, but all of the different things they're putting into play these days. We also have a lot of analytics that are starting to happen with facial recognition and voice recognition and even geolocation attempts. And these will often wind up misclassifying whoever's coming along, who they're trying to identify. And sometimes we see this with identification things too, where you've got facial identification and you're supposed to sit in front of a camera for a moment and it looks at your face and it says, oh, hey, you're this age or that age. But I'll tell you, I know people. I have a friend that I used to work with. And I poke fun every once in a while because she looks like she's 12 and her husband looks like he's in his mid-40s. And I'll joke on, on social media about, oh, it's so cute that you went out to dinner with your dad. And she gets a big kick out of it. And I think she does. She says she does. And this is just one of those things there that it's going to sometimes identify somebody as being much older or much younger than what they are just because of maybe the hairstyle, maybe it's the clothing that's available, maybe it's something about the lack of wrinkles or far more wrinkles on a person. So this already starts us down a rough road. Additionally, we've got platforms that are using third-party data, and this third-party data may have errors or mismatches identifying with one person in a household versus another. And this is going to be moving in a very interesting direction. We've got a lot of enforcement of age restrictions that's coming along, and this is going to vary based on states, based on countries, based on all kinds of different things. See, we have these regulators coming along, and they are pressuring companies, and some of this pressure is to say, we don't want you to deliver information of this particular variety to youth. We don't want you to be quite so forthcoming with details that could cause harm to anyone. We get into a very tricky world here because a lot of the different ways that we would normally go with in the past, you have to provide your government-sponsored, government-issued ID. Well, people don't want to do that anymore. people are really starting to get security conscious, and they don't want their driver's license or passport or government ID out on the internet for every single different website out there, because we've had so many breaches. We've had so many problems along the way. Even if they're not storing that information, even if you're going to and take your pick, it doesn't matter whether it's ChatGPT or Facebook or TikTok or whoever. People don't want that information stored there. And even if it is just a temporary mechanism to validate, and then that information is thrown away for a brief moment of time, it's a picture of your driver's license going over the internet, and somebody can intercept that at any point in time. The technology for verification has all kinds of different flaws in regards to things that are fair, things that are going to be promoting privacy, any kind of issue like that. This means that, yes, they're going to try to do their best, and they're going to come up with new unique ways that we've never thought of before. Yes, I do understand and hope for better verification controls, better parental controls, and better ideas for enforcing these things along. If we do that, if the tech companies out there really refine things, yes, we can reduce the risk of underage users slipping into areas where they shouldn't be, getting into trouble in ways that they need not be. But is there any real good solution that we have on the table today? Are we going to have one tomorrow? Is it going to be the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year? Who knows? But for now, we'll see how it goes. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and a lot of how that all intertwines. Now, recently I was talking about tech workers that have been laid off and how you're not alone and a lot of different things that surrounded that. And one of the things that I really missed out on was how you can take that next step towards getting another job. And one of the things that has been sitting on my mind for a while now is, well, the last time I was out of a job, well, actually it was job searching. The last time I was looking to shift jobs, I had already decided on getting a professional resume done. Now, we're not talking, I want to be very careful here. I want to make sure you understand, getting your resume done can be done in a number of different fashions. You can pay somebody $50, $100, even a few hundred dollars to go through and update your resume. Now, they're going to have a variety of skill as far as how they handle your resume. But most of them, down in that $200 and below, they're going to be using things like ChatGPT, which you can do yourself, or they're going to be not really in touch in communication with you as far as how to build up your resume to be perfect. Now, I've done this in the past, and I spent, we'll just say, a bit more than what I just described to you. And I am planning this next time to spend even quite a bit more than I have in the past. To give you an idea, just a rough idea, I've been in the industry now for roughly 35 years. I have a vast experience in technology that starts back in the days of DOS and Novell, and it rolls through things like when we had to upgrade from Windows 3.1 to Windows 95 and so forth and so on through the years. And I do a lot of different things, and I've had a lot of different experience, and how do I bring all of that together? Well, you have to go through an interview process. You have to go through the idea that they understand, the resume writer understands who you are, not based off of paper, not based off of forms that you've filled out already for them. They need to understand you as a person. At least that is one of the things that I've really grown accustomed to, that I really feel is a great direction for just about everybody who is in a professional role. And the reason for this is if they understand who you are, these resume professionals, they understand what you're talking about. You can have that communication with them. That's going to help you a lot more when it comes time for you to be interviewed by a future employer. I know this may seem like a big jump for a lot of people. They start thinking, why would I spend? I'm out of a job. I'm going to spend $300 and get a resume done. No, I'm talking, the numbers I'm looking at are closer. I haven't figured out the exact number, and I don't even know if I'll ever need to do that. But right now, I'm looking at probably about four times that amount. I'm looking at roughly spending, and here's the drop here. I'm looking at roughly spending about 1% of my annual salary on something like this. And this is something you've got to figure out. 1 to 2% of your annual salary is going to give you such a big, huge leap up when we start talking about what your next role is. I will tell you, you spend 2% on a resume package, that is going to get you hired a matter of, instead of in 6 months, it gets you hired in 2 months. How much is that lost 4 months of revenue going to hurt you? I'll tell you that when I started to do those numbers years ago and I came across that realization, I said, this makes sense. And I did that last time that I really needed to find a job, and I'd actually been looking for a while, and it was very hard for me to think that through. I was running into all kinds of roadblocks, and someone said, you know what, get a pro resume done. And that helped me so much. Look, there's a lot of different things that some of these packages from various companies will throw on, things like coaching sessions, or they'll set up something like some kind of a subscription service where they'll send out your resume direct sending to people who are in the hiring field that you're interested in. It is really a different layer altogether. Of course, when you're looking for these folks, you want to make sure that they understand what ATS Optimized means. You want to make sure that they're going to be helping you with your LinkedIn, with things like cover letter and biography and things like your career coaching and job apps and all of this. You're looking for someone who's going to give you a full professional level experience. Something along the lines of things you might not have even imagined. it's at least worth talking to a lot of these companies that do this resume service and seeing what they might bring to the table that you haven't thought about. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Sarah's question, why does my laptop's battery percentage jump from 40% down to 10% suddenly? And this is something that actually can happen across both laptops, but also any other battery item. Usually smartphones is where we see this kind of thing. And I get it. It's like checking your gas tank and suddenly, you know, you look down and 5 minutes ago it was well over a quarter of a tank. And all of a sudden now you're running near to empty just because you hit a bump in the road or something. And this is something that it has a number of different things associated with it. First off, your battery calibration is probably off. And your battery calibration can be fixed by going through. And what you're going to do is you're going to run your system, whether it's the smartphone or the laptop or whatever it is, you're going to run this down till it turns off. And it should turn off before it actually truly hits what is a 0% on the battery. And what you do then is once it turns off, you immediately charge it fully to 100%. And then you start using it again. And it will probably reset the whole system. It will refigure out that battery calibration. And I've had to do that on a few of my iPhones over the years and other phones and a couple of laptops. And there is another issue that does come along with this, and that is that batteries do degrade with age, and they will lose their ability to hold a charge, especially after many of the charge-discharge cycles. Now, along with this, there may be something deeper. I want you to think about maybe in the old days, we would have radios and they would hold a matter of 4, 6, 8 batteries in them. And if you put one battery in there that was bad and the rest of them were good, well, that would have all of the others drain so much more quickly. This is a similar situation that happens across all of these battery devices and also in EVs too, electric vehicles. And what happens is the system will result with the same kind of symptoms as what you're describing. It's a matter of they think they've got 8 batteries to work with, even though, yes, you're looking at your phone, you're thinking 8 batteries in there. Well, there's little small tiny batteries, and it's a number of different batteries all in one battery pack. And what it's going to do is it's going to go through and it thinks, oh, hey, I've got 8 of them. And instead it has 7 of them actually working, or maybe even 6. And this is something we just have to deal with. That battery calibration will help find that. There are a few different things that do happen along the way, like the operating system, iOS and Android OS. They do have some different slowdown things that they do when you get down closer to that 0% and they start to kick on. And it is one good thing is to turn that off and to just make sure you're fully using that power down to that 0 and then going back up. That should probably help figure everything out and hopefully solve your situation. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. Theradiofactory.com.